right, let's do this.
Yeah, this is the remix. Come on now.
Yeah, I like this. Can you feel it? Nothing can save you.
What's up, party people? It's Shanae, and welcome to the All Caps Excited podcast. Woo! Are you all caps excited? I think you are. You totally are. This is the very first episode of the show, and basically the All Caps Excited podcast, if you didn't know, is a business advice podcast. I will be taking your calls and answering your questions, questions you're afraid to ask, embarrassed to ask, all that good stuff. Like I said, my name is Shanae Howard of HeyShanae.com, and I'm super, super, super excited. So, All Caps Excited, Episode 1. What I would like to do at the top of this podcast is sort of talk about some sort of business something or other that's been on my mind and I want to talk about. And today I want to talk about titles. So, I've noticed that a lot of my clients, my students, everyone I know is obsessed with titles. And not just titles, but names, but you know, that's a whole other story. Let me sort of break it on down to the ground, get low with you about titles. Unless you are a coach, and by coach I mean like a football coach, a scientist, even a scientist, it gets a little unclear. A doctor, a dentist, or a teacher. People are still going to need to know more about what you do, and a title doesn't really help them. So, for example, a dentist is a dentist. We all know what a dentist is. But you might have a title, or you might be doing something that's a lot less easy to explain. So you've decided to kind of use some funky name, like you call yourself a Space Cadet Illuminator of Awesome inside of a closet with the Backstreet Boys with a twist. You know, something like that. Like, you've created a super complex title for yourself in hopes to make it clear what you do, and ultimately it doesn't matter because people are still going to need more. Another thing that you need to think about when you're thinking about names is that people don't really think about what they need via names unless you are doing one of the jobs I mentioned. And in addition to, I'm thinking of some other examples. A plumber is another one, like a grocery store manager. But even people don't know exactly what a grocery store manager does either. So it's going to be a lot more useful and a lot more effective for you to instead think of a sentence or a phrase of what you do instead of obsessing over a title. Because most likely, your title is going to still confuse people. So one way to think about this is to think about the fact that most people don't necessarily go to a site and be like, I need a brand strategist or I need a coach. Most of the time they think, I need someone to help me get more clients, or I need someone to help me figure out why I eat so much chocolate all the time and I cannot stop. That's what the way people think about what you do. So saying that you are a weight, I can't even think of a title for that one, but, or saying you're a brand strategist or something like that gives them a clue. But wouldn't it be even better if they came to your site and you were like, I help people get more clients, or I help people stop eating so much? That's way more effective, way more cleaner, way just super, super clear. Because we think that people want super clever and super, super personality. And, you know, certainly people do like their people to have, you know, some sort of personality, but ultimately the title is the last thing you're thinking of. And if people ask you what you call yourself, a lot of times it's because they don't know what to call themselves or they're unclear about it. So that is sort of my spiel about naming, and ultimately this is your invitation to stop obsessing about it if you've been thinking and deciding about what to call yourself, because ultimately it doesn't. I promise. And that is my little spiel on that. And for your homework for this All Caps Excited podcast is to think of a sentence to describe yourself instead of a title and put it on your site somewhere. And when you do it, tag me or use a hashtag All Caps Excited with a link so I can see it and congratulate you for your awesomeness. All right. Time for your calls. Let's dig in.
Hey, Shanae, it's Eliza. I had a question. My question is, how do I figure out what services to offer? Here's my situation. I have been getting referrals from clients, from their clients, to do work for them, and they've been requesting me to do copywriting and brand strategy, things for them that I've never thought about doing or offerings. I'm in an exploratory phase trying to figure out what services I now really want to offer since I'm being asked to do things I never thought about doing. So I'm a little confused by it. So I'd really like to know your perspective on how to narrow down that field. So thanks.
Hey, this is a fantastic question. First of all, thanks for calling. Thank you. A very first call for the show. So this is something I have a lot of experience with. When I first started my business, I was doing everything. So anything that anybody asked me to do, I tried it. So I would do copywriting, I would design, I was a writing coach for somebody, I did marketing campaigns. When you're really early in your business, it's natural to sort of have a deep exploration phase when you're spending a lot of time doing a lot of different things. That's okay. And it's really good for you, and it really helps you fine-tune what you want, because one of the things is that you never know what you want unless you try it. And that's the really, really, really important bit. So, like, for example, a lot of people spend a lot of time sitting, planning, trying to figure out what they want to do, and then they commit to doing it for a year or, you know, 6 months or something like that, and they try it, and they figure out that they hate it, and they're still stuck doing it. They're still duck, quack, quack, doing it for 6 months. So what I would suggest you do is to try anything you want, but make sure that it's short, focused commitments. So don't do any big, large-scale projects that are going to take a lot of your time. Do little things, like, for example, if somebody asks you to write a bio, try it. If somebody decides wants you to write a sales page, just try it. And keep an eye on what you like to do and what you don't like to do so that you can start to craft your offerings even more carefully. Another thing that I want you to do is make sure that you are honoring yourself enough to where you're not, you go into each situation knowing what you want to get out of it. And what I mean by that is that it's easy to, when you're in this stage, to get taken advantage of a lot, because I know for me, I was a huge business whore. So I want you to sort of go into each interaction knowing what you want. Are you doing it for the money? Are you doing it for the experience? What do you want? That makes things so much better and just a lot more cleaner and a lot more clear as you're doing this stuff. So basically, my advice is when it comes to your offerings, go ahead and play, go on ahead and discover, because each discovery you make, everything you say yes to gets you closer to what you want to do, and some of that hard stuff that ends up happening is a part of the process. Good luck. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Shanae. This is Karen Bugs from Ohio, and what I do is I help people be more productive by eliminating the clutter, the chaos, and the procrastinating habits that they've developed in their life and business. My question for you today is, for a person that does not have a huge online presence, but would like to collaborate and partner with someone that does, what advice or suggestions could you give to make that partnership or that collaboration more likely? Thank you.
Hello there. And okay, so this is sort of my suggestion with this. I have, when I first started, again, this is going to be like the podcast of Shanae's retrospective of my business. But when I was first starting, when it came to sort of collaborations, I would basically lead with what I had to offer. So I would, you know, I would go in and be like, this is the things I can do, and not be too attached to the results as far as when you go to people. And one of the things about quote-unquote bigger names is that they get a lot of requests, and they're probably very busy, blah, 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 blah. So you see how I feel about sort of big name stuff, because, you know, I tried it so many times early on in my business and it didn't work that well. But one of the things that did work is if you come with whatever you're offering all finished and all thought out. So for example, if you want somebody big to contribute to your magazine, the best thing you can do is give them everything they need, make it really easy for them to answer, and so that they can contribute and a collaboration can happen without it being a huge commitment from the other people. A lot of times, when I get an email or something for a collaboration, and sometimes I read the email and I want to do it, but it just seems like such a huge commitment and it's going to take so much time, and I'm already trying to do my best to, you know, stay on top of the stuff I have already, and it's not that I don't want to do it, it's just that it just feels too hard at that moment. So one of the biggest things I would suggest is, one, sort of lead with what you can do, what you can offer, and how that is going to influence or help that audience or their audience. That's really, really important. And also make it really, really easy for them. Any scripts, any way that you can make it so that it's really simple for them to do, whether or not it's, okay, I'm setting everything up and all you have to do is show up. For example, if it's a call you want to do, or if you want like a little snippet for them, kind of give them prompts, suggestions, all that good stuff, or even tell them, hey, you can write something and I will edit it for you and, you know, tweak it as you see fit. Stuff like that makes it a lot easier for collaborations to happen. Also, though, I want to note that I would focus on peers. A lot of times we all are trying to get up to these people and these people and these quote-unquote big names, when there are lots of people who are in the middle, lots of people who are kind of rising with you who could also use that support and also want to collaborate. One of the things we always forget, that one person is a huge network. So for example, if you just look at one person on Facebook, you will see that they most likely have over 500 followers. So if you collaborate with that one person, they share their stuff, and one person, you know, shares it, then you just kind of goes out exponentially. So I would kind of also encourage you to look to peers and see who you can collaborate, who is on your level, who is going to be willing to sort of put in a lot of effort and get a lot out of the exchange as well. Thanks so much for calling.
Hey Sinead, this is Maria, and I'm sending you a question because you are my fairy godmother and you're too awesome not to, so here I am doing this. My question is, I am awesome at what I do. That's a fact. And I've been having more and more clients, which is a glorious thing. So I've decided to launch products that are not consulting. And guess what? I am the worst at doing that. I have asked my lovely, lovely audience what they want. And I've tried and produced a product that's as close to it as I've been able to do. No, it's not selling. I know there's an easy peasy way to fix this and that you have the answers. So, Shinee, tell me, why am I the worst person in the universe at selling my own products when I know that they're awesome? Thank you very much, and well, I'll catch you online. Bye-bye!
So there could be a couple reasons why your products are not selling the way you want. I would sort of, first of all, get a gauge of your audience. I think that maybe the first step is asking people what they want. And so, like, I'm sort of a huge proponent of, you know, providing people what they want and selling it. But there's a way in which you have to give people what they want, and there's a way in which you have to listen to what they want. So if you just ask people sort of, hey, what do you guys want to learn, or what do you guys want to do, or what do you guys want to buy from me? You're not going to get a good answer because people don't know what they want. They don't know what they want to buy. They just know how they're feeling. So I would first go into thinking about sort of how it is you're listening to what your customers want. And if you're getting sort of answers that are like, I would like, you know, something that's about brainstorming, I would sort of, you need to get sort of more specific in-depth information. So for example, how are they feeling? What's frustrating them? What's sort of getting on their nerves? And getting a lot of clear language about that, that's going to most likely sort of give you more insights to what it is you could be creating, if the problem is in fact the product itself and the way it's designed. Because a lot of times you can create a product, it could be a good product, but it could just not be the right thing for what your audience wants. And there's all sorts of timeline concerns. I'm teaching this all in my new class that I'll be talking about later, so listen in on that. But it's, you know, a lot of it is about the design and how you got the answers to your questions. Things that I would probably do is I would really sort of take the information from your consulting work that you're doing and also create a clear process around it. So you could totally, you know, create a product. It could just be a random product that solves a problem that your people have, but you probably want to be more specific about sort of what your process is, what's the beginning that your help, where are people at when they first get to you, and where do you want them to be? And that sort of makes the product creation process easier if you have clear goals that you're trying to get people to instead of just kind of creating products. I don't know if that's your problem, but that's another suggestion. On top of that, there's so many reasons why a product won't sell. It could be your audience engagement level, how much people are listening. Products themselves are something that I always tell people that you should do further down the line. Unless you have a consulting service that is like literally busting at the seams, you might not want to go after products right away because it takes a lot of work. And most likely your product's not going to be $997. So each one is going to be a little harder to sell. What I would suggest you do is maybe work up. So you have your consulting service. Think about how you can make your consulting service more premium, and then that way you can sort of sell less, still make the same amount of money, and do sort of the list building techniques and all that you need to do to get your list to the level to where selling is easier. So it's not, you know, so it could be, so basically it could be that the product itself is not sort of suited directly to your client's needs right now. It could be that your list isn't ready, they're not engaged enough, and in that case, you need to sort of be doing more premium offerings to bide your time. There's a couple different things, but hopefully one of the suggestions will get you started. Thanks for calling. Bye.
Hi, Shanae. This is Brenda, and I have a question. What do you do when you're launching and it's not going as you expect? So how do you prepare yourself for that, like the ups and downs of launching in that period? Thank you.
So one of the things about launches is that they're just inherently so unpredictable. Inherently. Did I use that word right? I hope so. Anyway, so things always go wrong. Things never seem to kind of go to plan with launches. So that's just sort of the nature of a launch. And it's why it stresses everyone out. I've personally launched over a bunch of times. I don't even know the number at this point. I've launched a lot. And here's some of the tips I've learned about surviving it. One is just to make sure that you're planning really far ahead. So you have all your content done, it's completed. This is something that Melissa Casera, my good friend, does as well. If you have all your launch materials done way beforehand, you are going to be in much better shape. If you're doing all that and then you're kind of going and you're sort of not selling like you like, which is what I'm assuming you're saying, there could be a couple reasons. One of the biggest reasons is that people are procrastinators. They procrastinate. I remember I read this thing about sort of the cycle of, you know, people who buy things, and you have the early adopters, you have the people who are in the middle and whatever, and they are maybe one or two people, and most of your sales will happen at the end or towards the end, the last 3 or 4 days. So if a launch is not going well, one of the things I do is you make the launch window shorter, so it's like 1 to 2 weeks instead of like 4 or 5 weeks. It just makes it easier, less stressful for you, and then once it's done, it's done. If you find that you're not selling, getting on the phone and talking with people, sort of old school selling is really, really effective. Relaxing and meditating. For me, my biggest thing was like watching TV and stuff like that. Because one of the things about launches is that everyone is a learning experience, and whether or not it goes right or it goes wrong, you learn from it, and you're bound to have both a launch that goes well and a launch that doesn't go well. And so if it's not going the way you want, sort of just keep track of what's happening. See, okay, this is what I did. This is what I could do better. This is whatever. I'm disappointed, but you know, whatever. That type of stuff is going to be really effective and helpful for you as you move forward. Another thing is to just, know that your launch is not, you know, the success or failure of your launch is not a huge, it is a big deal, but it's not gonna be a reflection of your overall business, how good you are, what you do. It's just something that we have to do as business owners, and you get better at it as you go along. So in conclusion, you know, do something to relax. Make sure all your stuff is done in advance. And if things aren't going wrong, course correct. So if they're not going right, course correct. So you can do a free call. You can jump on the phone with people. One of the things you don't want to do is you don't want to push. Because if you push, hustle too hard, then that desperation energy is going to come out and it's no good for selling. So those are my suggestions. Thanks for calling. All right, and let's leave it at there. Thank you for listening to the very first All Caps Excited podcast. It was little bleeps, little bloobs, but it's okay. We'll get better as we go along. Just some announcements. I just launched my new offering, Ka-ching, naturally. It's a 3-month mastermind program designed to help you find something and create something profitable for the new year. If you would like to submit a question for this podcast, go to heyshanae.com/yo. That's heyshanae.com/yo. And I will see you again next week. Bye. Come on. I've been gone for a minute, now I'm back with the jump.